This is WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, your community radio station. Welcome to the Surreal News. We have a great show this morning. And at the board this morning is Andrea. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, I think I can do more than one thing at a time, work the board and talk. And we have an interesting show this week. We're going to have Jonathan Chase and Janice Felsky from Lighthouse. They're actually in the studio visiting us as we speak. And our second guest is going to be Christy Schwinn. She's the research director for NewCorp Media Matters. We're also going to have a Tannen Weekly. And I'd just like to say that we are brought to you and we are supported for this hour by NewView. It's a local business specializing in managing and caring for your home. From property management to house cleaning to window washing, NewView has served Sarasota residents for 15 years. More information about NewView is available at 955-4060 or online at newview.com.
And we have some news I'd like to report this morning. And you mentioned our guests. I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. They're both our guests?
Yes, we Good. Have. Yes, I did.
Yeah, so we're going to get to Murdoch later in the show after we talk about Lighthouse. Here's some late-breaking news for you. The Don't Ask, Don't Tell Obama administration asked the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to reconsider the order, believe it or not. Late-breaking news. Reconsider its order last week demanding an immediate halt to the enforcement of the ban on openly gay troops in the military. Department of Justice lawyers said that would preempt the orderly process for the 17-year-old policy that was passed and signed. Joan?
Oh, I'm still reflecting on that and figuring out what it tells us, and I guess we'll find out more. There has been the issue about getting rid of it instead of doing this slow process. Well, I have a little bit of a court report that really boils down to do we the people matter anymore? We've reported the Supreme Court cases that have blocked class actions. We reported on the Walmart case. These are cases that are perhaps too small and too expensive for individuals to bring on their own, but which a class, a large group, can bring because the evidence is all the same, the law is the same. But those have been thrown out. Similarly, a case was thrown out for people receiving damages when they're injured by generic drugs that don't give warnings about their injury. So these are cases where people have had their access to the courts blocked, and less is our court system mattering. You can remember, of course, the Casey Anthony case, in which the jury came in with a verdict that nobody liked. There have been all sorts of steps taken to say how bad the juror was. Total lack of faith, really, in our jury system. I'm not taking a position on the Casey Anthony case because I didn't follow it and I didn't see the evidence, but it's a lack of respect for our jury. And then I look and I can combine that with the voter suppression laws that are really being put in place this time around. The laws that are making it more difficult for people to vote, this is sort of, to me, all eating away at our democracy and the role of the people, putting it more in the hands of the people who think that they are smarter and know how to run things. So this is what I see happening in the news.
All right, thank you, Joan, for that reporting and also for some insight. I want just a headline here. Rebecca Brooks resigns as chief executive of News International. We're not going to talk about that now. We've got that later in the show to discuss. Andrea?
Okay, well, here's an interesting story. There is no way to prevent aging, which is the single biggest risk factor for developing Alzheimer's disease. But a surprising new study suggests that engaging in healthy behaviors, like taking care of your vision and ensuring proper denture fit, could help lower the risk of Alzheimer's and dementia. Relying on some 7,000 responses to a Canadian study of health and aging, researchers set out to see if health problems widely believed to be at risk factors for Alzheimer's and dementia, like heart disease and diabetes, indeed predicted development of the disease. But they also looked at other health factors not typically linked with brain decline, such as eyesight quality, bladder control problems, dental issues, and denture fit. They hope to discern what role, if any, they might play. And when considered individually, these health problems were indeed linked to an increased risk of bad outcomes. It was a very small risk, but it still did affect the outcome of Alzheimer's. So all of these factors take a toll on general health, and they are associated with an increased risk for dementia. It's very interesting.
Yes, I like these studies. I think they teach us things, and there'll be more information coming. And we do have a Tandem Weekly coming in a little while. We have a little bit more news. Here's some news coming out of Katrina, guys. A cop's shot after Katrina shot three times as he led dying a gentleman, according to a pathologist report that came out. And this is late-breaking news from yesterday. A forensic pathologist testified that a teenager gunned down by police in New York, in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina was shot at least three times while lying face down on the ground after he was fatally wounded by a shotgun blast to the head. So he was shotgun blast to the head, lay dying, and as he lay dying, he was shot at least three times. I have to read a little bit more of this. The testimony of five current or former officers charged the deadly Danziger Bridge shootings supports prosecutors' allegations that police shot unarmed, wounded people who posed no threat and sought cover behind a concrete barrier. And this gentleman, I believe, also was disabled. A government witness said the 17-year-old James Brisquette was shot at least six times with at least three different weapons. A shotgun blast to his head would have immobilized him before any of the shots were fired. All right, that's the story coming out of Katrina. Very disturbing story.
Mm. And I think there are more disturbing stories yet to come from Katrina. Something going on in Florida. The Senate Agriculture Committee plans to study the plight of Lake Apopka farm workers following Governor Rick Scott's veto of related $500,000, $500,000 appropriation. Portions of Lake Apopka north of Orlando were diked and drained during World War II to provide for vegetable farming. Farm workers say they were routinely exposed to pesticides prior to 1998 when the state purchased and closed the Muck Farms to restore Lake Apopka water quality. A 2006 study by anthropologist Robin Haben for the Farm Workers Association of Florida found that 83% of farm workers said they were in either fair or poor health, and 79% believed their exposure to pesticides had affected their health. As part of the environmental restoration project, the state flooded the farm fields around the lake west of Orlando to reestablish marshes to filter the polluted lake water. Birds returning to the flooded area in 1998-99 died from pesticide poisoning. This according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The Senate Agriculture Committee staff will provide information concerning the health issues being experienced by the farm workers and assistance available. The project deadline is September 1st, according to the Senate Interim Work Plan. So we'll see where that goes. We see our governor turning down money time after time. In another story, he turned down money that would have been used to help keep seniors out of nursing homes, the problem being having enough money to keep people in their homes with some nursing assistance rather than putting them in nursing homes. Nursing homes cost something like $77,000 a year. People can be kept in their homes for about $44,000 a year. That's having help 44 hours a week. But our governor turned the money down.
Thank you, Joan. Very interesting statistics there. All right, we're going to go out west a little bit and do some national politics. Just a 2 minutes, and then we have our Town and Weekly. First of all, how Bachman can win. Romney is clearly the front runner of the GOP, but Bachman's fundraising places her at the head of the anti-Romney pact. I'm not going to go into that in detail, but that was reported this week. And we're going out to Wisconsin. Scott Walker, approval ratings not so hot in Wisconsin. The governor there, Republican, who's been doing the anti-union bashing and bills, etc. His approval rating, his disapproval rating, 59% of ratings of residents there disapprove of the performance of Scott Walker. In a separate item, in the fake Democrats in Wisconsin, candidates go down on recall. And what happened there is the Republicans forced a primary by putting up fake Democrats against the Democrats to replace the senators who there were enough signatures to gather to put them on the election for recall. And all of the fake Democrats who were Republicans, and there was no, this was all up front. They admitted to be doing this. They all lost big time.
It was a stalling tactic, actually. So
yes.
They could get their,
it could backfire because it gave them the Democrats really more time to get organized here and get money. Likely that will go back on them. And here's another headline. Scott Walker, critics say effort to recall him, the governor, is likely to prevail in 2012. Another backlash here. He cannot be recalled in less than a year, but after a year he can be, and it looks like the numbers are good to recall, according to the critics, Scott Walker in Wisconsin. All right, how about a Media Matters Minute would be great now. Now, our Media Matters Minute today is about the national debt. What better thing to talk about today than our national debt, according to Pete Tannen, who provides us with this audio.
U.S. government hits debt ceiling. Nothing happens. Washington, D.C., special to the Tannen Weekly. The U.S. Treasury Department announced that at 2 p.m. today, Eastern Standard Time, the country had passed its debt limit. It also announced that nothing happened. The debt limit, an anonymous spokesman explained, is a purely fictitious number that Congress invented and raises at its whim. Washington politicians were flummoxed when, in spite of their end-of-the-world predictions, things just kept going on as usual. "We try to scare the hell out of people to get them to vote for us," said one furious congressman. "And what happens? Nothing. Our so-called economics experts blew it again." Leading economists, it should be noted, have accurately predicted 8 out of the last 3 recessions. Congress immediately turned to the next bit of crucial business at hand, getting themselves re-elected next year. A bipartisan agenda of scary things to argue and posture about was quickly agreed to in both houses, and the appropriate press releases are expected early next week. Public attention turned back to summer baseball and reruns of True Blood and The Bachelorette.
The Tannen Weekly is distributed by WSLRLP, FM 96.5.
Turn on.
Okay, thank you to the Tannen Weekly. And now I'd like to introduce our first guest. We have two people actually.
Let me just mention the Tannen Weekly is, he's an award-winning writer. He lives here in Sarasota. You can get his columns at tannenweekly.com.
Oh, okay. Yes, thank you, Steve. Anyway, I'd like to introduce two guests who we have here in the studio. Our first guest is Janice Felsky, and she is the executive director of Lighthouse, which she's going to tell you all about. But I just want to tell you that Lighthouse is a transition program for people with sight problems, and they've served Sarasota and Manatee, and actually 5 counties in this region for over 26 years with really good services. And I'm also proud to announce that we have Jonathan Chase, a.k.a. JC, in the studio, who is our WSLR's summer transition intern, and we're going to be talking about both his experience here and the special Lighthouse Summer Transition Camp. Welcome to Janice and JC.
Happy to be here.
Well, I just gave a brief introduction about all the good works that you guys do, but you want to tell me a little bit more about how you got involved with Lighthouse, both of you. Why don't you start, Janice?
Sure. Actually, I started my career as a social worker, moved into public health administration, and have spent over the past 30 years administering programs for people in health and human services. The past 13 years, I've been the executive director of the Lighthouse of Minnesota.
Uh-huh. And what exactly does Lighthouse do? Can you give us just a few more details about the role you play in the community?
Absolutely. The Lighthouse provides skills training, daily skills training, to people from birth through youth development, adults. We have programs that are designed for specific age groups, from babies, children. Transition, which is the program that Jonathan's in, is a program that helps young people between 14 and 22 to begin thinking about what they would do for a career. What kind of work would they like? Will they go on to college? Will they go into the workforce? How do they decide to do that? What tools will they need? And especially if they have sight vision loss, what adaptive techniques and tools will they need in the workforce?
Interesting. Now, Jonathan, you are a person who's in transitional living, mm-hmm. and also you went out into the world and began to explore what kind of job or what kind of interest you might have in the job arena. Can you tell us a little bit about how Lighthouse helped you and how you structured this process?
how the Lighthouse kind of helped me out a little bit. I have this, I'm interested in computers. And, I have a good friend of mine named Reagan Reichard, and he's my computer technician. He taught me how to use the, what's called the JAWS screen reading program. And what it does, it turns onward text into synthesizing speech. So I can, like, go on the internet with it and, like, do Microsoft Word and all my Word documents and all the all of my schoolwork and check my emails and I can go on YouTube and plus it depends on what kind of website it is, rather if it's compatible or if it's user friendly, stuff like that, you know.
But Jonathan, I can tell that you've had a radio experience. I can tell by just the way that you can handle your voice and stuff that you are not new to a microphone. Is that true?
Yeah, I've been around a microphone plenty of times.
Uh-huh.
And, I'd like to give a history about my experience in radio, because the first real radio station I got to visit was 106.5 CTQ at Clear Channel of Sarasota. It was a country station. I got to work with Heidi, who's on from 10 to 3. Maybe 5 years ago now. Jeez, 2006. And it was on a Wednesday of March of spring break, and I got to dedicate some songs, and I got to my Auntie Marcy called in that day, requested a Jimmy Buffett Alan Jackson.
So you already
song.
Have fans.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I went back to CTQ in 2007 as well, like right after my birthday. Heidi was on in the morning filling in for this other guy, Sammy Cruz, who's not at CTQ anymore. I also got to go visit the Tampa Clear Channel. I have a good friend named I got to go visit in 2007 and August of 2008. I've been there twice. I have a good friend named Christy Knight, who's on Mix 100.7. She's on in the mornings now from 6 to 10. I email her. I stay in touch. I tell her what I'm up to and stuff like that. And when I got to go, I got a tour. I didn't really get to go on air because they have like different rules and regulations, and they plus they pre-record everything, which there's nobody in the studio.
Right.
And so it's really neat. I got like both of those stations I went to. I toured 93.3 FLZ, and so I'd like to give a thank you to Christy and Heidi and
these are not endorsements. These are thank yous.
Yeah.
Well, so Jonathan, you're interested in the music side of radio, though. Is that not true? You'd sort of like to be a DJ and play music?
Oh yeah, I'd really love to do that. I've been dreaming about that since I was a kid. I think I started at probably 7 years old. I recorded tapes. Cassette tapes on the radio, which cassette tapes no longer exist. They're obsoleted now. We're in the iPod generation. And, another local radio station that I went to down in Englewood was called WENG. They're both, it's a AM 13, no, 1530 AM and FM 107.5. I worked with Scott Holcomb, who's no longer there. He went into construction now, and I got to do some on-air commercial promos, just like I've been doing here for the past week.
So is it safe to say you're looking at a future in broadcasting?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I do have some questions on what adaptations you make so that you're able to do that.
Yes. Well, the adaptability I have... I use the Perkins Brailler and the Apple synthesizing voice command on the Mac computer. But there was one day yesterday, Arlene had tried it out for me, and there was a section that it wouldn't read everything, so it's not really good like I'm used to with JAWS, but it could be a little bit more helpful to me. For a Mac, so
and you've been doing some promos for this radio station.
Yes, sir. Yes, Steve. I've been doing. I did a Grateful Dead promo.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Monday I did the weather. Tuesday I did the. I did the
history one. I know you did one on history.
I did the history one on Wednesday. I did
and
the Grateful Dead one
there.
On Tuesday. Yep. You know, my Uncle Pete likes Grateful Dead a lot, so.
So you have another family fan.
Yeah, we have our yearly Grateful Dead thing coming up with Mark Binder. Does
celebration.
That fabulous, yeah.
Yeah, a celebration of Jerry Garcia and his death.
You know, this is such a great program because you actually get out into the world. You get to sample what a job would be like without making a commitment or going through all of the rigmarole of a commitment. Test it out, experience it, and then you go more seriously and really begin to look at the job world. So it's sort of a trial kind of basis. Jonathan?
Yes.
Do you have any site now? Do you want to give us just like a brief, you know, description of what you're...
I'd really like to.
Okay.
Well, anyway, what happened during my childhood when I was born in 1990, November 3rd. I'm a fall baby, and what happened? I was born 3 months premature, and my sight condition is my blindness perhaps is retinopathy of prematurity, and what happened with my left eye? The retina cracked in it when I was born, and I was only a pound and 8 ounces. Doctors thought I was never going to make it, but here I am.
Wow.
On the air at a local local radio station here. But anyway, as I grew up, the doctor said it may happen any time now. So I had partial sight until I was 14 going on 15. It all started in my ninth grade year at Venice High School as a freshman. There was one day I went to school, I had this like like fold on the top left corner of my eye. It was like doing all weird shapes and all sorts of squiggly lines and stuff like that. So the next day I went to the doctor. I got an x-ray, a CAT scan, all that. And he said, he looked at the pictures and all the photos and he said, surgery tonight. So, but anyway, they postponed it to the next morning. I had to be at Sarasota Memorial Hospital at 6 o'clock a.m. in the morning. And that was really darn early. And so anyway, I had three disconnections, three operations. I was hospital homebound for about 3 or 4 months. I went back to school in January of 06. And fortunately, luckily, I met a vision teacher who was really good, Miss Jamie Mastro, but now she's married. Her last name is DeClerico. she's been with me all 4 years since I went to Venice High School. She's been very excellent. Now I have different vision teachers. Like, ever since I graduated Venice High when I was 18, I'm going to Oak Park now. Like, the last 2 years I've been to Oak Park, it's then it was Miss Jamie. She didn't really come as often. It's been, each year, it's like been a different teachers every year at Oak Park the last couple of years. So and then this coming year I'm gonna have some new teachers. The last two teachers I've had, two Braille teachers I've had, have retired, and so.
How did the transitions? How did you two link? How did you link Janice with JC?
Actually, Jonathan was with us last year in summer camp, and we did do some training when he had, I think, prior to the transition last year. And we got him as a referral through the Division of Blind Services, and so he came to that transition camp, and we invited him again this year because he fit the criteria. We have specific criteria for every program.
Uh-huh.
And so he was the right age. He had, you know, he was also going to be looking into the workforce and needing the tools. So his family agreed, and he came into this program with 11 other.
11 other. So you have 11, mm-hmm. 11 other young adults who are,
yes,
out sampling the work world,
yep,
in this transition camp.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Well, as I understand it, today might be payday in transition camp, Jonathan, and I want to know how you're going to spend your paycheck.
Well,
records, music?
No, well, maybe, because like over the years I've bought CDs, and now I'm thinking once I'm supposed to be getting a new version of JAWS for my computer at home, plus a new laptop for all my schoolwork and stuff like that. So anyway, once I get my new JAWS program on my computer at home, I could be able to access iTunes better, and because I have a few iTunes gift cards left over from Christmas, I was thinking about, like, because the thing with gift cards these days, the best thing with gift cards is that they save you money, you know? Instead of going out and buying the actual CD, I could just learn how to burn my own CDs, like buy albums off of iTunes without spending any of my cash, and I can just use a gift card, and that'll be a money saver right there. And plus, I was thinking about, like, because I'm going to the Conklin Center in Daytona through August 1st to August 12th in 3 weeks. And like, what they do there is they put you in a dorm, like it's like a college kind of. They put you in a dorm, and you have to, like, it teaches you life skills like housekeeping, and like I've been there before. I had to make my own bed, clean my own bathroom, mop my own floor, vacuum it, do my own laundry, cook, and. The greatest thing about cooking is I have a, as you know, I've used a Hamilton grill, which is like the George Foreman, you know, the one that drips out all the grease, so it makes your meat less fattier and
I have one of those.
More healthier. Yeah.
Let me just mention, it's half past the hour. You're listening to WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida's Surreal News Show, and that's the voice of JC,
Thank
our
you.
Intern. So I wanted to actually to go back. Oh, yes. Let's go back to Janice for a minute. And Janice, before you do that, I just want to ask you a little bit about where the funding comes from for Lighthouse.
Oh, great. Sure. We do receive funding from the state through the Division of Blind Services. We get funding from Manatee County. And we make up about 40% of our budget ourselves through fundraising efforts. We have appeals, and of course we apply to different foundations. We are a not-for-profit corporation, and we are struggling just as everyone else is.
Yeah. I know a lot of the nonprofits, and we have certainly quite a few on WSLR because we're also a nonprofit, have been making partnerships with other nonprofits in the area. Do you do that at all, or are there other nonprofits that share some of the common goals?
We have a lot of alliances, you know, with different nonprofits, and we also have worked that into our programs. We do the transition students have gone to Sarasota Art Center and have worked with a program there. We have also worked with Ringling Art Museum. It's just wherever we can, we're constantly pulling in our resources with other not-for-profits so that we can share experiences.
Very good.
Okay.
All right, what's that in your hand there?
I would like to present WSLR Radio.
What a surprise.
With this wonderful certificate, and it's a thanks and congratulations to you by providing our summer transition camp student with work. You've informed and empowered our student as well as our community. Thank you so very, very much.
All right, so on behalf of Arlene Sweeting, who's our station manager, and all of us at the WSLR community, thank you very much for presenting us with that nice plaque, a lovely plaque, and I'm sure we'll find some place on the wall to put it, probably at our new studio, I would imagine.
Wonderful.
Because we're about to move over there.
And absolutely, this is just such a win-win situation, because we've had so much fun as well, you know,
great,
working with your transition student.
Thank you so very much.
Okay, so Lighthouse, anything else that Lighthouse is involved with other than placing the students and those programs?
We have programs from birth. We have babies. We have just gotten the babies program back, and we have about...
How's that work?
20 babies. We have, actually, the Lighthouse has teachers that are degreed in visual disabilities and certified for specific programs. Some of them are certified vision rehabilitation teachers. Some of them are teachers of the visually impaired. Some of them are orientation and mobility instructors. And we also have a lot of several adaptive technology teachers. So from birth, the infants have special program with teachers that go one-on-one. And then the kids, young adults, and seniors, all either individual or group, and there are 5 different programs.
Very interesting. So you actually begin working with newborn babies, and
yes.
I find that astounding. Mm-hmm. Like, could you just give me a quick example of how you might work with a baby to begin to...
Well, it's working with the baby, seeing how the baby is tracking. The instructor will be working with the baby with the parents.
Uh-huh. And teaching the parents as well, then.
Exactly.
So it's a teaching kind of thing.
So it's really seeing how the baby is tracking, whether the baby is reaching, whether the baby is at appropriate levels for development, and then helping the parent teach them concepts. So what's in, what's out, what's up, what's down. If you can't, if you have vision loss, you have to learn different ways, and that's what they're going. That's what we do with everything.
Well,
it's,
I'm hesitant
teaching
to do this, you guys, but we have to cut this short because it's so interesting. And JC, thank you so much for letting us interview you. I have one final question.
Yes.
If how to get in touch with you guys?
Mm. Yep.
You know, if you want more information.
Well, do you want to get in touch with me or the Lighthouse?
I think probably the Lighthouse, JC.
Okay. You can reach us at 941-359-1404, or you can get to our website, lighthouseofmanasota.org.
Okay, thank you very much. And JC, would you like to say something? How do we get in touch with you?
Well,
just kidding. Through the lighthouse.
Through the lighthouse, great.
Yes. Okay.
Or would you like my email address to be exact?
Well, I think that's okay. We can give anybody that contacts the program that email address. But thank you so much, JC, for letting us interview you. This is great.
Yeah, and like one last thing I'd like to mention, not to get off the subject here, but the last thing I was about doing with my money is saving it and stuff like that. I was thinking about like saving it for like just future references to buy my own house and pay my own bills and such like that. So thank you very
fantastic.
Much.
Fantastic. Spoken like a true American. You're probably one of the only people saving at this point in time, and that is an honorable position to be in. Thank you very
much. Yes, and let me mention that when you listen to this radio station, you do hear these promos from time to time. If you're wondering where they come from, now you know.
Yep.
JC, the weather, and I was filling in for the mullet last week, and we played weather. You also do history and some promos, for example, The Very Merry Jerry, which is coming up on August 7th. If we have time, we can play that as well. All right, there's been lots of stuff going on in the news, and we're going to do a transition to our Media Matters Minutes now, and then we have the research director for Media Matters for News Corp coming on in about 3.5 minutes. First, let's go to these Media Matters Minutes, the Media Watch Conservative Misinformation Watchdog Organization out of Washington, D.C., provides us with this.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Danny Herrera. Fox News is on a campaign to save, of all things, incandescent light bulbs.
All those companies that made the light bulb that we all grew up with, they're gone. Now these new light bulbs are being made, I believe, in China, and so you might wonder about whether or not we should save the old light bulb just to save some jobs here in this country.
There are they're like contraband now.
Turning off the government's bright idea to control the kind of light bulbs you're allowed to buy. Which one of those do you have at your house? We have a choice.
We're not going to be able to buy bulbs in a little while.
We have a jihad against the new light bulbs.
The Energy Independence and Security Act, which was signed by President Bush in 2007, doesn't specifically outlaw all incandescent light bulbs, just the inefficient ones. But those details weren't reported on Fox because, well, it doesn't fit their narrative. For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Seth Michaels. With the deadline to raise the debt ceiling approaching, Fox News and the right-wing media are coming up with creative ways to paint the president in a negative light. Exhibit A, the metaphor.
That's the problem with being president. You love raising the debt ceiling. It's like a wife and her credit cards. Americans have to be the husband that takes the credit card and breaks it up.
Call him the parental president. But can he force feed the GOP a diet of more spending?
Though lacking in literary flair, Rush Limbaugh's rhetoric on this topic is arguably more insidious. Exhibit B, the conspiracy theory.
Now he has said he wants to change it. He doesn't, of course, say he wants to destroy it. He just says he wants to change it. Okay, so I've said he wants to destroy it. He said he wants to change it. If there is a collapse or a default, it's something that he wants and has planned.
For these stories and more, visit
this
Media
is
Matters.
The Media Matters Minute. I'm Jess Levin. How you go from talking about a job summit to talking about Islamic extremism is beyond me, but Rush Limbaugh sure knows how to do it.
Well, their CEO of GE, Jeffrey Immelt, sits on Obama's Private Sector Job Creation Council, and Immelt has come out with a speech. A summit, jobs summit, at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce yesterday, and he said businesses need to take the lead on job creation. Obama and Immelt, you know what they're like? They're like a couple of radical Islamic imams telling these business owners to go out and sacrifice themselves for the cause. There's nothing new in the way the Democrats conduct economic terrorism, holding a gun to the heads of seasoned citizens.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Danny Herrera. As you probably don't know, Fox News has replaced Glenn Beck's show with an oddball panel of 5 contributors. It's kind of like ABC's The View meets Lord of the Flies. Take a listen.
Up on the hill.
Fear-mongering. I'm pretty sure President Bush never fear-mongered like this. I mean, making threats.
Well, he didn't threaten not to.
$2.6 trillion sitting there. Come on.
He didn't threaten not to pay Social Security.
Token Democrat Bob Beckel was having none of it. A conversation about WMDs and Iraq ensued, prompting Fox Business host Eric Bolling to let out this little gem.
Well, you know what? Whether they did or didn't, America was certainly safe between 2000 and 2008. I don't remember any terrorist attacks on American soil during that period of time.
Except for, you know, that one that happened in 2001 in the month of September. For this story and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
And we have an update on our health insurance laws. This is from the Kaiser Health News, which is from the nonprofit foundation established initially by the Kaiser family. This is about the health insurance exchanges, which we heard about and then we didn't hear, and now we are hearing. It seems like a simple idea: create new marketplaces called exchanges, not to be confused with a stock exchange, but maybe you can get the idea of a board with all the information. This is a place where consumers can comparison shop for health insurance, sort of like shopping online for a hotel room or airline ticket. But like most everything else connected with the health law, state-based insurance exchanges are embroiled in politics. Surprise, surprise. Some Republican governors threatened to refuse to set up exchanges unless they received more flexibility over Medicaid, the state federal health program for poor states, including California, Colorado, Oregon, and Maryland. They have adopted legislation to establish exchanges. Lawmakers in other states said they didn't want to implement any part of the federal health law, and others are either still discussing such proposals or awaiting a governor's signature. Meanwhile, efforts have either died or been rejected in at least a dozen states, including Louisiana, Arizona, and Florida. I mentioned previously that our governor had turned down quite a lot of money that would have helped seniors remain at home rather going into nursing homes, and he rejected $35.7 million for a five-year grant to help seniors stay at home by paying for in-home care. And the reason that he did that is that he thinks the new health law is unconstitutional, and he is not going to cooperate in any way.
All right, very good. Thanks, Joan. We're going to switch gears. Andre, do you mind if I do the bio this morning?
Oh, no.
Okay. Chrissy Schwen. Good morning to you, Chrissy.
Good morning. Thanks Chrissy for having me on.
He is the research director for News Corp Corporation for Media Matters of America. Let's see. Previously, director of research for Equality Matters, researcher for Media Matters.
Yeah.
All right. There is some late-breaking news that I want to go over with you, and then I kind of want to ask you what the big picture here, because the Murdoch and the News Corp story has just got so many tentacles and so many. So the late-breaking news this morning is about Rebecca Brooks. In addition to that, Chrissy, I have a list of headlines that we could go through either in England or things that are going on here in the United States. We could talk about the chronology, what's going on with 9/11 and the FBI,
right.
Bribes in the U.S. law and how that figures in, the Justice Department here. But let's start with some late-breaking news, and then tell us a little chronology and what's important with this story.
Sure, absolutely. It is really a behemoth of a story, and it just keeps growing. But the latest news is that Rebecca Brooks, who is a Murdoch crony and was the CEO of the British papers, the British News Corp papers, has just resigned her position. This is really significant because the story's really been like blowing up in the last 2 weeks, and up until today, we've really seen both her and Murdoch resisting that. When News of the World, the paper responsible for most, but not all, I should say, of the hacking allegations, when it closed down, hundreds of people lost their jobs, and those people all thought that Rebecca Brooks was coming in to announce her resignation, but it turned out that she was staying on. And then when Rupert Murdoch himself went to London the first time, he was telling reporters his first priority was taking care of Rebecca Brooks. So this is somebody who's an executive high up in the News Corp operation who is absolutely embroiled in this scandal. She was the editor of News of the World during a large portion of this hacking. Until this morning, she was the CEO of all of the newspapers in Britain, and she was claiming And she had no idea that the scandal was going on under her nose. And so this morning she's resigned. We're still going to see her. She's been called before Parliament, before hearings next week, and she's claiming that she's resigning now so she can focus on getting to the truth, because she had no idea. But it is just another indication that this is really kind of spiraling out of control for News Corp.
All right, so this story really pulls a lot of strings for us, because Surreal News here at WSLR LPFM, we also are kind of a media watchdog. Walk us through some of the, let's get away from Rebecca Brooks for a minute, and walk us through some of the chronology. How did we get to where we are today, and then where is this going?
Yeah, well, this has been a long time coming. Most of Americans really just heard about the story in the last couple of weeks, but for going on 6 years, we've been aware that the British newspapers, in particular News of the World, has been hacking into the voicemails of celebrities, politicians, the royal family. And then in the last couple of weeks, we learned that now it's also victims of terrorism attacks and, you know, murder victims and people who whose families of people who died in Iraq and Afghanistan. And that also they potentially bribed the police to cover it up and to get more scoops. And
the news, we got to mention 9/11 too.
So that's another separate allegation that's come out that hasn't been substantiated yet, but there's a rival tabloid called Daily Mirror in Britain, and they have alleged that they have been speaking to a New York police officer who says he was contacted by News of the World to get them to try and hack into the victims of 9/11, which would just take it to a whole other level, certainly for Americans. You know, we know that they have wanted to do this. We've seen the allegations that they've hacked into the victims of terrorism attacks in Britain, but if it happened on 9/11, I think that would be crazy. But I should say, even if that particular allegation were not true, we know there are several allegations that they've been bribing police, which of course would violate the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, because News Corp, as an American corporation, cannot pay to bribe people in other countries. And so they would be, you know, subject to U.S. law, violating U.S. law under that case, even if they had not hacked into the voicemails of 9/11 victims. But if they had, I mean, obviously that's just outrageous.
Now, as I understand it, Murdoch is going to investigate himself. He's now set up some sort of internal review that's supposed to have a lot of credibility. And
yeah, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
He has said that he's setting up an internal review. He's named Joe Klein, who is another Murdoch crony executive who previously worked in the New York City schools, who retired and moved to become an executive in News Corp. I should say, though, that this is not the first News Corp branded internal review of phone hacking. Les Hinton, who now publishes our Wall Street Journal, previously worked over there in Britain on the newspapers, and he testified twice before Parliament that he did a thorough review and found that no one else but the one reporter who went to jail in 2006 knew about the phone hacking. And of course now we're seeing that almost 10,000 phones have been hacked, so that's just at best woefully negligent investigation, and at worst he knew about it and covered it up. So I don't know, I guess this one's going to be even more thorough and even more independent, but we'll have to wait and see. I think what we need are the U.S. to investigate, and actual independent investigations.
Now, is there any records on the terrorists who flew the plane into the World Trade Center by any chance?
We haven't heard anything about that. What we've heard about this 9/11 allegation so far is that this was after the attack, and that they were trying to get, the allegation is that they were trying to get, like, the last messages to family and stuff like
that.
And that is in keeping with what we've seen from them elsewhere. The one allegation that really caused this to blow up last week was the allegation that there was an abducted teenage girl, and they had hacked into her voicemail for the same reason. They wanted to know why she was missing and if she was really abducted or if she was just missing, and they had actually deleted old voicemails interrupting the police investigation to try and get that information. And so this is sort of along the theme of this salacious information, you know, like last in the trying to get the sentimental last talk that they can, like, splash all over their papers.
I mean, that hacking incident was actually really destructive, because it led the parents on to believe that the child was still alive.
Yeah,
it fooled the police.
Tragic. Yeah, yeah, it made the police think, you know, investigate in the wrong direction, that she was checking her own voicemail and leaving, and then let her parents believe that she was still alive. And tragically, her parents gave an interview to News of the World explaining to them why they thought their daughter was still alive without any idea that it was their people who were doing it to them.
Now, are they going to fix the World Trade Center? Are they, like, going to rebuild it or remodel it and when it goes back to, like, offices once again? And
yeah, is News Corp going to, or?
Well, you know, Chrissy?
Yes.
You know, one of the questions that I have is, I mean, we know now that, you know, Rockefeller wants to have them investigated in this country, mm-hmm. and so does King, and they're going to have a Justice Department investigation for 9/11. Do you know anything more than what's just been, you know, out in the general news about this potential Justice Department investigation?
Well, we haven't heard. Well, there have been reports that there is a Justice Department investigation. We haven't had any confirmation of that. The FBI has, there have been many reports that the FBI has launched an investigation into not just the British papers, but all the New York papers and News Corp as well.
Uh-huh.
And that they're going to, you know, investigate whether the 9/11 victims in particular, but also any Americans were affected by this. And of course, that there is a high probability that, you know, if British celebrities were hacked, then American celebrities as well. But in particular, the 9/11 victims. The DOJ, there have been rumors now, if the DOJ investigates, and I think that that's a kind of an important distinction, the FBI does not have jurisdiction to investigate whether they violated the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act by bribing police officers in Britain. But the DOJ does. So it would be a separate investigation, and there have absolutely been calls for Holder to investigate not only Rockefeller, but also Lautenberg and Senator Boxer and, as you said, Pete King and Earl Blumenauer and Braley has a petition on his, Congressman Braley from Iowa has a petition on his website as well to try and get people to contact their representatives for Congress to call for hearings or for the DOJ to investigate.
All right, so we're talking about the investigations here about what News Corp is doing. It's also been reported a smattering in some of the other media, and you can comment if you want about CNN and some of the other news outlets, whether they're reporting or not, the tremendous ties between Fox, Murdoch, and many politicians in high places. In other words, we have News Corp possibly with a dossier on everybody because they were pretty much hacking many politicians' phones, and by the way, also normal people, victims as well. So there was, we saw an early investigation, you said, that was kind of cut short, and now we're seeing a little bit more of an investigation. But it's a couple of things have been commented on in, for example, MSNBC and Rachel Maddow, who has been reporting this. One is that some of the investigations may be blunted, both here in the United States and in England, because of the close ties that Fox has, and then sort of the where this is leading, and that is Fox News, many people have reported, sort of the core of the Republican Party here in the United States, and I think that that's less controversial than it used to be, and that this could, this scandal could actually go to the heart of the Republican Party. Comments?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say absolutely that that's exactly what happened in Britain. I mean, that's actually one of the things that their parliament is now looking into, is why were the first investigations so inadequate? Why did they fail to uncover? I mean, all the stuff that's come out now, people have known about for years, but it just really, it didn't come out. And one of the things they're having to look into now is, like, is it because of his ties to the police? Is it because of his ties to the current prime minister and former prime ministers, you know, and the government? And I think that that's absolutely a danger here. My hope is that this, what has happened in Britain, and the sort of, as we're starting to see bipartisan calls now for Congress, we're going to have our government realize that they can't afford to hold on to their ties to News Corp and their sort of cozy relationship with them as the organization becomes, you know, as it becomes apparent that the organization is more and more toxic. And so I think we have an opportunity for our government to really realize that they have to take their oversight responsibility seriously and not do exactly what you said, which is exactly what happened in Britain, which they're now having to deal with.
Chrissy, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, I know the B Sky B, you know, it has been derailed. I mean, News Corp is definitely not going to be buying them probably anytime soon. But, I mean, News Corp here has the Post in New York, you know, Fox News, the Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see this organization possibly imploding and, you know, losing some of these entities? What do you think is going to happen and how how will that affect us?
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's really interesting, isn't it? Like, I have to say, I'm not sure if we are quite there yet to say that they could even, like, split off the entities. But if you had asked me 3 days ago if this was going to stop Murdoch from being able to buy the British satellite company DSkyB, I would have said no. And it just keeps getting bigger, and it just keeps imploding. And now with the first person, Rebecca Brooks, who Murdoch said was his priority to keep her going, I think we are going to see some serious ramifications. Whether that means that it separates into separate companies, or whether, like, the Murdochs have to step down and it goes under new leadership, or who knows. But I do think that, you know, as long as this does go to a serious end, if there are actual hearings, you know, and as you mentioned, that aren't just sort of cut short because of the closing relationship, but really taken seriously, I think it's certainly possible. Absolutely.
God, how would that play out? I mean, if he were to disintegrate in this country, like, what would happen to Fox News? Like, how would this play out? Could you?
Well, it's, you know, it's really hard to say. There's been some reporting, actually, that the current dynamic is even good for Roger Ailes, a speculation anyway, because there haven't been allegations of this kind of activity from Fox News, and that without Murdoch there to sort of oversee what Ailes does, not that he tends to curb him in now, but if there were a weaker CEO to go ahead, then Ailes would have even more free rein. However, if James Murdoch and Rupert were implicated in this and had to resign their leadership posts, and this is all just speculation, obviously, then if they brought in somebody who's actually serious and somebody who is interested in, like, not taking the sort of dangerous risks of that Fox News takes with being so partisan and having such ties to the Republican Party with the donation that they gave to the Governors Association last year and everything else, then you could see someone try and clamp down on what Roger Ailes does over there. But it's just a little bit early, I think, to see. But I should also mention that these investigations that the FBI are reported to be having do include all of the New York, in particular, but U.S. Outlets as well. So if any of them have any evidence that they've been engaging in this sort of misbehavior, then that's just a whole new ballgame.
Wow. And the tentacles of this are just so far-reaching. Tell us a little bit about, let's go to Media Matters for a minute, because I think that this story really fits squarely on your shoulders. How does Media Matters fit into this picture in terms of reporting in your role?
Well, we have started News Corp Watch in order to sort of get the sort of total picture of what's happening at News Corp and how the organization has been acting as a sort of less than corporate responsible citizen and all of these misdeeds, you know, including the hacking and these takeovers of media, but also with Fox News and the sort of what they're doing to dialogue in the U.S. And so we have been working on this story for months now. Now that it's really exploding, we are just working to make people aware that it's not just something that's happening in Britain that we can kind of look at and say, oh, isn't that startling, but something that is indicative of the total mismanagement at News Corp and the sort of total overarching, agenda that they push instead of, like, you know, whether it be push their political agenda or let their cronies sort of run the store and sort of negligence of controlling these misdeeds that are going on below them. And that we need to be really concerned that this is happening, this kind of thing is happening throughout the empire. So that's what we're committed to working on, and to keep everyone abreast of all the details of the story.
All right, and if our WSLR listeners want to get some more information, where can they go?
You should absolutely go to newscorpwatch.org, and you can find out information about Fox News, of course, at MediaMatters.org as well.
Thank you so much. Media Matters, a nonprofit organization out of Washington, D.C., that's been a frequent guest on this show, and also we've been playing the Media Matters Minutes straight through. Thank you so much, Chrissy.
Thank you guys for having me.
All right, a killer good story there. We're certainly going to be keeping an eye on that. Guys, that brings us to the end of another show, and we have some bumper music. Andrea's been doing a great job at the board today. Thank you, Andrea. And you might want to turn up that slider. There you go.
Thank you very much for having me, too, JC.
Thank you, JC.
It's been a pleasure to be here with you guys this morning.
Thank you, JC. You're great.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime you want.
All right, and we do have some underwriting on the show as well.
Oh, yes. This program has been brought to you by New View. New View is a company that's local here in Sarasota that will take care of your home in any way. That can include cleaning to window washing. It's a great organization. It's very green.
All right, wait a second. We got to read it word for word. There's no...
Great. Sorry. I retract that.
You cannot do it. Okay. This hour of Surreal News has been brought to you by New View, a local business specializing in managing and caring for your home. From property management to house cleaning, New View has served Sarasota residents for 15 years. More information available at 355-4060 or online at newviewinc.com. It's not improv. Sorry. For those of you that are wondering what just went on here, our underwriting statements are approved by the board and they need to be read exactly. Okay, so thank you for tuning in and thank you for our co-host this morning.
Yeah, you guys are very friendly.
We have Complex Waveforms, which is coming up next. Hopefully have our music, which is cued for that. And you've been listening to WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, your community radio station. The views here are not those of WSLR, its board members, a volunteer, or anyone else, just of the people that gave them. Take what you like and leave the rest. Have a great day. Stay tuned for Complex Waveforms with Mark, which is coming up next. Have a great day.
Now, Mark, excuse me, Steve. Now.